Radio Prague News.
Airport-style metal detectors have been installed at Prague Castle. The Ministry of the Environment has withdrawn a controversial bill setting the price of groundwater. And President Miloš Zeman will not appear in public again with anti-Muslim campaigner Martin Konvička. Airport-style walk-through metal detectors have been installed at Prague Castle. Some weeks after security checks at the popular tourist site were stepped up, two such metal detectors were installed on Tuesday at the entrance to the castle's first courtyard from the main square. There is no other way into that part of the complex, and queues have grown longer at Prague Castle, Czech television reported. President Miloš Zeman says he believes his residence is a potential terrorist target. Tour operators say the checks have led to very long lines. The Ministry of the Environment has withdrawn a bill setting the price of groundwater from the agenda of a cabinet meeting planned for Wednesday, Czech TV reported. Environment Minister Richard Brabec of ANO said if the bill is submitted at a later date, it won't contain provisions that could be abused so as to increase water prices for citizens. The Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka of the Social Democrats welcomed the decision. Plans to increase the price of groundwater by 3 by 2022 had divided the cabinet and been criticised by municipalities. The Ministry of Finance has put forward a proposal under which customs officials would be able to investigate tax-related crimes, which are currently the domain of the police. In addition, the plan envisages allowing the Customs Administration to examine complaints in more areas of taxation than the present VAT and consumer tax. Customs officials will also get powers to investigate illegal earnings under the proposal, which was presented by Finance Minister Andrej Babiš of ANO on Tuesday. The Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec of the Social Democrats, recently announced the creation of a new financial police unit to focus on tax crime from the start of next year. Mr. Chovanec said there would need to be a detailed debate on expanding the powers of customs officers. President Miloš Zeman will not appear in public again with Martin Konvička, an anti-Muslim campaigner who organised a mock Islamic State invasion in central Prague on Sunday, the president's spokesperson said on Tuesday. Mr. Zeman shared the stage with the populist politician at a public event on the 17th of November last year, but that situation will never be repeated, his spokesperson Jiří Ovčáček told reporters. He also said that the president condemned four men kidnapped in Lebanon who were suing the Czech state for compensation. They had infinite cheek and should actually reimburse the state for the costs incurred, according to Mr. Zeman. Following his triumph at the Olympics, Lukáš Krpálek is now the most in-demand and popular figure in Czech sport, says Miroslav Černošek, the head of the agency Česká sportovní that represents the judo star. Mr. Černošek told the Czech news agency that Krupalek's success put him on a par with Roman Šebrla when he became Olympic decathlon champion in 2004, or Petra Kvitová when she won Wimbledon. Krupalek was the only Czech to win gold at the Rio Games, and the medal could be worth millions of crowns to him, said Mr. Černošek. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's programme, Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has presented a detailed outline of the foreign policy challenges faced by the Czech Republic and European Union. One of the biggest names in stand-up comedy, Louis C.K., is set to perform at Prague's Rudolfinum. And later on in the programme, find out about a new book which traces the history of Czech comics. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka gave a detailed outline on Monday of the foreign policy challenges faced by the Czech Republic and European Union. The remarks came as part of an annual address to the country's ambassadors, which took place at the Černín Palace headquarters of the Czech Foreign Ministry. Dominik Jun has the details.
Bohuslav Sobotka spoke for a little over 25 minutes, detailing a number of pressing foreign policy issues faced by the Czech Republic, from terrorism, migration, Russian aggression, the attempted coup and subsequent repression evidenced in Turkey, and the impact of the Brexit vote. The Prime Minister began by declaring that the turbulence of the past 2 years has essentially closed the door on a chapter of relative peace in Europe. Now, he said, security has become a dominant issue. Mr. Sobotka then argued that the migration crisis served as a key reason for the creation of a joint European military force.
Our experience with the last migration wave has shown the importance of Europe's internal borders. In the face of uncontrolled mass migration, even states in the center of Europe have realized that internal borders must be better controlled. Aside from better coordinated foreign and security policy, I also believe that in the long term we will be unable to do without a joint European army.
Sobotka stated his belief that such a force would not undermine NATO, but rather complement it, and also added that the Czech Republic would maintain close alliances with the US, no matter who wins the presidential elections there in November. Turning to Europe and the impact of the Brexit vote in the UK, Sobotka warned that turning away from many of the tough debates now faced by the continent would open the doors to, quote, populists and extremists. After urging the European Commission to back down from imposing migration quotas on member states against their will, Sobotka made a point of reiterating his firm belief in the Czech Republic's continued place in the EU.
I would like to take this opportunity to repeat that there is no positive alternative for the Czech Republic than membership in the EU. A stable and functioning European Union has been and must remain in the future a key priority for the European Union.
Sobotka's call for a pan-European army met with a decidedly negative reaction from figures across the Czech political spectrum. The opposition Top 09 party's deputy chair Marek Ženíšek said that he believed the Czech Republic's NATO commitments were sufficient to meet the country's needs.
I agree with all the other broad points laid out in the Prime Minister's speech, from Ukraine to Turkey, to the statement that the Czech Republic has no other alternative to the EU and NATO membership. The one thing I cannot agree with is the creation of an EU army.
Similar sentiments were expressed by Czech Communist Party deputy chair Josef Skála, who expressed concerns about both who would lead such a force and the tasks which it would be assigned. Meanwhile, Civic Democrat chair Petr Fiala published a tweet saying such an institution would be, quote, for nothing and only create more bureaucracy in Europe. Czech General Petr Pavel, chairman of the NATO Military Committee since 2015, also responded negatively to Sobotka's idea, describing it as utopian. The idea of a European army also faces much opposition throughout the rest of Europe, with many dismissing the idea as little more than a pipe dream.
Dominik Yoon with that report. The Czech stand-up comedy tradition is a young one, but over the last decade, largely thanks to HBO Czech Republic's Nastojaka series, excellent talent has emerged, including now household names like Iva Pazderková and Lukáš Pavlásek. Increasingly, comedians from abroad are also including the Czech Republic on tour. On Tuesday, one of the biggest names in the business, American comedian Louis C.K., will perform at Prague's Rudolfinum. Jan Wellinger has more.
Some fans may have gotten their first glimpse of Louis C.K. in films like Blue Jasmine, American Hustle, or Trumbo, or be longtime followers of his TV series. But stand-up is what visitors in Prague will be able to see from Louis C.K. on Tuesday night, provided they got tickets well in advance. Shows at Prague's Congress Center quickly sold out, and the second date at the Rudolfinum, a famous concert hall, was added only after tickets for the first show were snapped up. There is a huge interest in seeing the comedian, known for greatly irreverent jokes and unafraid to take on almost any topic. In the past, the comedian has riffed on sex, marriage and divorce, brandy children, not being a particularly good parent or person, and much more. Opening the 40th anniversary special of Saturday Night Live, the comedian tread where few others would dare to go, child abuse. Yet somehow he managed to navigate that minefield at the end, breathing a sigh of relief.
All right, we did it. We got a great show
tonight. Czech stand-up comedian Daniel Čech, a regular on HBO's Nastojáka program, spoke to Czech Radio about Louis C.K.'s approach.
There's a quote where he says that saying a subject is too awful or painful to joke about is like saying a disease is too awful to be treated. He's the kind of comedian who'll make fun of anything.
Louis C.K. became the first comedian to sell out three nights at Madison Square Garden. Czech Radio reported that it took less than 2 days to sell 100,000 tickets. Those going on Tuesday evening will no doubt be wondering what the comedian has planned and possibly whether he will make any Czech references. Comedian Daniel Čech notes that some who have done stand-up in Prague, such as Britain's Jimmy Carr in April, made a point of adding a few Czech touches.
Jimmy Carr vlastně měl takový hezký úvod, že tam okamžitě udělal narážku.
Carr had a nice opening in which he immediately referenced Czech President Miloš Zeman and his excesses with the crown jewels and drunkenness, whereby he immediately connected with the audience. I like the fact that he mentioned something local.
To, že tam řekl něco, co bylo vlastně místní.
Czech comedian Daniel Čech, and for those of you going to see Louis C.K., enjoy the show.
Jan Bellinger with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. For years, comics was considered a lowbrow genre and was neglected or even banned during the communist years. Recently, however, the situation has changed with new talented authors emerging, and it seems that comics has finally become a respected part of Czech culture. Last year, a group of authors published an exhaustive three-volume book on the history of Czech comics. I met with one of them, Pavel Kořínek, and started by asking about the origin of the genre in Czechoslovakia.
Well, it's always quite difficult to date the exact moment of a birth of a genre. Obviously, the comics evolved from the caricatures, from the sequential cartoons that were published in the satirical magazines in the latter half of the 19th century. And then it slowly became more and more comics, like the speech balloons emerged, the sequentiality in the images emerged. For us, the first probably proper comics in terms of using all these modern comic aspects were The Adventures of Mr. Ťopásek by Karel Štrof, which were published in Humoristické listy in 1905. But for us, the comics emerged in its modern form really at the beginning of the 20th century.
Now, how did it stand in comparison to other countries at that time?
Well, I think that at the time we were somehow on par with all these European countries, with France, with Germany, with England. Obviously, the American comics were evolving much more quickly during the first decades of the 20th century. The comics were at the time dedicated mainly to children audience, but there were still some satirical strips, satirical one-page stories focusing on adult readership.
Can you mention at least some of the best-known comics from the 30s and 40s, from the pre-war period?
Well, I think the most famous comic artist of the pre-war period were people that we are now not really connecting with comics. Josef Lada or Ondřej Sekora, these nestors of Czech books for kids and illustrated kid books, started doing comics in 1920s. Ondřej Sekora created his Ferda the End as a comic character, and only later it became the protagonist of these illustrated books we all know. For me, a specially interesting person is René Klapač, who did this comic series called Punťa, which was an adaptation of American series. They didn't want really to pay the fees for the new episodes, so they took the characters and redrawn them in the original style. And René Klapač series was really interesting for its usage of this transmedial narration and all these merchandising gimmicks and stuff like that. In the second half of 1930s, that's definitely not something that we are looking for when we are researching the comics, but it was really interesting to see that comic advertisement and comics merchandising were already quite established at the time.
You mentioned Ferda Mravenec, Ferda the End. Now, that's interesting because I think it reflects well the changes in political and historical situation in the country. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, the case of Ferda the End is really interesting because Ferda the End was a series that was published from 1933 till, I think, 1951, with some breaks, obviously, during the Nazi regime and during the Stalinist period. But at the beginning of the series, Ferda was this individual, somehow lazy character who didn't really wanted to do everything for the collective. He was really standing for himself, and he was even trying to avoid being enlisted in the army. But after 1948, after the February, Ondřej Sekora dedicated his end to all these socialist needs, so Ferda the End became this really topical new socialist end that wanted to build the socialism and fought the American Beetle and done all these quite ideologically charged things.
What about the approach of the communist regime to comics? How did they regard the genre, and when did they actually start to use it for their own propaganda?
It differed. In 50s and 60s, the comics were mainly perceived as something imperialistic, as something that has nothing to do with socialist culture for kids and that should be eliminated from Czech culture. In 70s and in 80s, during the normalization, I think they somehow changed their stance towards comics. They decided we will use comics for our own needs, and they somehow decided that comics, to some level, would be allowed, but you have to do all these, like, everydayness stories without any real adventure, without any stories that would somehow be interesting for anyone older than 10 years of age. So during the 50s and 60s, the comics were restricted, banned. During the 70s and 80s, it was more, like, reglemented. It was close to some prearranged cage where it was allowed to exist.
Among the comics that were banned were probably the most popular comics in our history, and that's Rychlé šípy, the Rapid Arrows. What's the history of that comics?
Well, the Fast Arrows or the Rapid Arrows are really one of the most fascinating cases of Czech comics, because that's the comics that was banned three times. For the first time, it was banned in 1941 during one of these liquidations of Czech press during the protectorate era. It emerged in 1945. Then it was once again banned in 1948, this time by communists. And then it once again emerged during the Prague Spring in 1967. But the third banning came in 1971 once again, and that was the final one. That was the time when the series ended.
Do you think it was only read by children, or it was also popular among adults?
I think the Fast Arrows were mainly, during its first and second period in the 1940s, were mainly read by teenagers and young adults, probably. Obviously, during the 60s and the break of the 60s and 70s, when the Fast Arrows came to life for its last time, I think they were read by adults as well as by teenagers. Obviously, the adults were nostalgic towards the episodes they read when they were kids, so the readership of the Fast Arrows in the 1960s and the beginning of the 1970s was somehow widened.
You also said that the communists basically restricted the genre and focused it mainly on kids. I guess that explains the popularity of another well-known comics, and that's Čtyřlístek, The Lucky Four. Do you think it was so popular because it was strictly apolitical and because it was targeted on kids only?
I think the main reason for its popularity, which was huge and it's still quite popular even to these days, was that at the time that was the one and only comic magazine in Czechoslovak culture. There were no other dedicated magazines that published solely comics. The Lucky Four was the only magazine that 8-9 times a year presented a new story of the well-established series. I think that this fact that it somehow was still using the same characters, the readers were returning to the same story world or whatever, was somehow important for the popularity of Čtyřlístek. All the other serials at the time were quite limited in the episodic count. Usually the series had like 12 or 24 episodes. Čtyřlístek had before 1989 published something like 180 stories, which is a huge amount, and it was as big as no other at the time.
I also believe it's one of the longest lasting comics in the history of Czech comics.
Yeah, it's definitely the longest lasting. And also, I think the one of the other reasons for its popularity, it used the quite popular genre funny animal stories, which is a really global phenomenon. One day I would really like to dedicate a study to this genre, because all the comic cultures all around the world, no matter how different their comic traditions were, somehow evolved their own funny animals genre. And I think that Lucky Four was popular also for this genre affiliation.
What happened with the comics genre after 1989? How did the authors use the freedom they suddenly had on their hands?
Well, the next few years after 1989 were times of the huge comics boom in Czechoslovakia. The authors had new publishing opportunities. Several new magazines emerged, a lot of translated series were being introduced. In 1991, there was a time when I think 70 concurring series were published at the same time. Obviously, that was too much. The market was not prepared for it. Everything was becoming much more expensive. And obviously, new forms of pop cultural entertainment were being introduced. So in 1993, the new Czech comics crashed. No magazine survived this year. Čtyři stek is the sole exception. For a few years, from 1993 till 1989, there were basically no new important Czech comics at the time.
I have this feeling that basically it was only after 1989 that Czechs discovered that comics was not only a genre for kids, but it was also targeted to adults. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that even bigger change came after year 2000. That's the time when I think the polarity switched or something like that, that since 2000, the new Czech comics is usually aiming to adult readership. Before 2000, it was more or less still kids and teens genre.
Can you mention at least some of the modern Czech authors, perhaps some of your favorite ones?
Well, from the contemporary Czech comic scene, I really like the works of Jiří Grus, Vojtěch Mašek and Jan Baban. They do all these really intelligent graphic novel stories that I think would be really interesting even for readers of so-called high literature. I really like the new book by Toybox, which is a young comics artist who prepared the first Czech autobiographical comics, and quite a strong story it is. From the older generations, I really like the works of Ondřej Sekora and Trené Klapač. I think that we still owe a big debt towards these authors, and I hope that one day it would be possible to prepare some critical editions of their works. In the archive of Ondřej Sekora, there are hundreds of beautiful strips that didn't see the light of the day since 1935, and it would be great to have an opportunity to prepare selected works of these masters of Czechoslovak comics.
Pavel Kořínek ending that edition of In Focus, which was first broadcast in March of last year. And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.